But let's say that we took all of the peer-reviewed journals printed within the American science system in 2017, 70% of the experiments cited could not be replicated. Anyway, so Kozyrev thinks that universe is not as Newton said. He thinks it was this way. He does experiments and he proves it. Then the Russians that followed Kozyrev have taken it much further. Now, Kozyrev's ideas are easily understood once you get into once you get it out of the Russian and get it into your native language. So there is an agenda to force a particular universal view on us and keep us in a rigid mindset that doesn't allow us to even examine these ideas because they're very disruptive. I mean,
learn about the red tea that flushes one third of fat and detoxes your body. It has 10 years of study and 3 years of field testing. This stuff is truly amazing. See the link below. Also, did you know that wild lettuce is similar to morphine and is the best natural painkiller known, but it does not contain any addictive opiates? Learn this and many other remedies in the Lost Ways, Methods of Our Ancestors. See the link below.
Hey, Cliff, thank you so much for sticking around for my patrons. I want you to take it away because you have some interesting things that you want to talk about. So go ahead.
Okay. Okay. So as we were discussing with Kozyrev, he's an astrophysicist. He's looking at the galaxies and stuff, and he discovers that he doesn't find in the universe any proof whatsoever of Newton's math being correct. And because Kozyrev is located in Russia, he has exposure to many Hindu thinkers and many Hindu mathematicians of old that weren't necessarily available to Newton and so on. And so Kozyrev comes up with this different appreciation for what had been called entropy. And Newton proposed that entropy would, that the whole universe would eventually degrade down and settle out and would sort of die with a whimper as all the energy went out of it. And yet there's no evidence of any kind of entropy that being described like that ever existing in our universe or existing now. And in fact, what Kozyrev found was that he was able to do a whole series of experiments that have proved to his satisfaction and to mine and also to the Russian scientists that, in fact, entropy is created in two different ways, with a right-handed spin that spreads out and with a left-handed spin that has a tendency to reduce back to order. And so the universe is self-correcting. And so we can think of it this way in a crude fashion. Entropy with a right-handed spin would be a dish of acetone that's evaporating. The entropy involved has the acetone atoms spreading throughout the whole room, and we'll never, ever be able to get those atoms back into a liquid form in that acetone. And that entropy exists, and it's out there. There's another form of entropy that they call negentropy or negative entropy that is the absorptive aspect of that, and that would be the seashore where they're crystallizing salt out of the water. Because in the process of crystallizing salt, you're taking a distributed material and you're bringing it into a rigid crystal structured order. And so as you crystallize salt, as you freeze water, as you do any number of activities, you're actually decreasing entropy in the surrounding space because you're absorbing it as you're creating order at this very quantum level. And we're talking basically quantum levels here at this point. Although as is in, so is it out, you know, and in this case, the quantum level translates throughout all of universe. And so the negative entropy has all different kinds of interesting concepts that are involved in it. And they demonstrated year after year. Kozyrev did these different experiments and expanded them, got to the point where he was able to reduce this down to mathematical terms. Others were able to duplicate his results because they were so wild. It was basically a challenge to prove him wrong within the Russian scientific arena. And so many people tried that they eventually proved that he was 100% correct. Now, we need to note that every single one of his experiments could be done by us and we could craft all of the same kind of equipment that he used because he didn't need to use very complex devices. But we do have complex devices today that you could also use to duplicate the results of these. But unlike Western science, you know, they estimate right now that if you were to go and take all of the peer-reviewed journals that were printed this year or last year or any given year, but let's say that we took all of the peer-reviewed journals printed within the American science system in 2017, 70% of the experiments cited could not be replicated.
Mm.
70% could not be replicated.
That's because
doesn't
that's
mean they lie, but we couldn't duplicate the results.
Well, and that's a lot of it because they're trying to push forward what would be good for them.
Correct, correct. And then also there's a lot of bad science out there where people are doing things without taking into account some of the subtle forces that are actually in existence. And if you've never been trained in the subtle forces or even know that they exist, you're not going to necessarily know to exclude them, okay? And so now we have to deal with these subtle forces, especially with quantum computers coming online, because those are all about trying to avoid subtle forces disturbing your approach to trying to do massively parallel computing instantly, which is basically all a quantum computer is. But anyway, so Kozyrev thinks that universe is not as Newton said. He thinks it was this way. He does experiments and he proves it. Then the Russians that followed Kozyrev have taken it much further. And so I'm convinced there's a very large component of the Russian science slash industry that is now moving in the direction of producing Kozyrev kind of devices.
Well, what would that be? Like, give an example.
Well, I was just going to say, one of them I think I have is a Skinar. Okay. The Skinar Cosmodique is an energy healing device that uses multiple little pulses. It's sort of like a super advanced TENS device. Okay. TENS is just this pulsed electricity. Skinar actually samples using subtle forces, samples your body, tunes the frequency it's going to output to your body's needs, and puts it in there.
That's kind of like what I was talking about with the nutrition system.
Yes, yes. If we had something like that, it'd be like Bones's from Star Trek's Tricorn.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, oh, yeah, yeah, you're deficient in this. Exactly, exactly. Oh, I'd love one of those. Yeah, yeah, yeah. When you find one, get me one too. Okay?
You're missing a little bit of iron there, buddy.
Exactly, exactly.
There is a four-part video series, Making Herbal Medicine Workshop with Marjorie Wildcraft. You will learn 12 different ailments that you can do at home without having to use big pharma. After the free four-part series, you will have the option to buy a home medical kit that will aid in your ability to take care of almost all of your family's ailments at home. If you are an early Christmas shopper, this would make an amazing, unique gift for someone you love. Be sure to check the link below and to sign up for this free summit.
But the Skinar is one of those. It actually uses some of these subtle force components. Now, they invented the Skinar to keep the astronauts in space because you can't take drugs in space because the human body doesn't react the same way in space as it does down on Earth. And so drugs are potentially very deadly, especially with their interaction with the liver. And so one of the things that is really interesting about the Skinar is that ever since they've been producing these things, they've had a protocol for dealing with livers, okay, little ways to heal your liver and so on. So I'm going to start getting into very serious use of the Skinar for that. Right. And so there's all different kinds of things. And so that goes back to this far view, and it goes back to the idea of, you know, managing well now for 160 years out when I've got my TR3 floaty thing and I'm going to go and, you know, sail on the moons of, you know, the moon Ganymede or something. Who knows?
Well, this is like taking Eastern medicine and putting science behind it and then saying, you know, and merging, because we have to start merging all that energy. We know that there's a energy within us. Now, I'm going to ask you, this is big picture stuff and how this relates to that. Now, tell me if this is accurate. Energy is always constant in the universe. And, well, there's a theory. And if one area, like a social construct, so it increases in energy, they're operating at a high intensity level, very intense. It sucks energy from another area. And then as this one decreases.
I wouldn't say that that's accurate.
How would that, because if energy's constant and it's always self.
And see, that's what
it's
I'm saying.
Not.
I don't think it's, no, it's not constant.
Okay, that's why I want to get it into a bigger construct and understand it.
Okay.
Go ahead.
All right, so. All of reality, the materium that we live in, where matter exists, is this 22 trillion times a second pulse. okay, as the pulse moves through, or as the pulse recreates itself, it creates the materium around us. There is no such thing as a solid atom. If we actually look at the atoms, they're in fact energetic. They're just energy, you know, moving around, and we think of the atoms as spinning, but really all we're looking at is the energy of the motion and the spin. We're not able to ever really see or interact with the particle itself. So we say that, you know, light is both a wave and a particle, but we can never really trap the particle and do a lot with it. We can get a reaction from what we think is the particle, and we call it a photon, but nonetheless, we're dealing with it at an energetic level. So if we just assume that that's the case, that there's this pulse that comes out 22 trillion times a second, followed by a pause that's 22 trillion times a second, alternating, then we get this interesting view of universe, because universe is continually expanding. We know this. This can be measured. The reason it continues to expand is that as the pulse crosses itself repeatedly, it creates complexity. Once complexity reaches a certain level, matter is created. It's the reverse of the E equals MC squared, right? It's the reverse of that equation. And so we're creating matter as a result of energy reaching a certain level of complexity where it gets so many crosses that it condenses out as some form of an ion. Some form of a very low particle level. That's the hiss that meditators hear when they get super calm. Mm. That you hear universe filling itself with all of this new matter continuously. And this new, so I would dispute that energy is constant in universe and would go the other way. Energy is continuing to accumulate within the materium, within this area where matter is. The energy is coming in constantly all the time, and we're reacting to that. It is not constant in any way, shape, or form, and that creation level, while steady, is irregular. So there will be variations depending on where you are. And then there's the issue of space. Okay, so you got one atom that comes on in. It brings with it the space and time it needs to exist. Well, when it comes in, the space that it is in bumps up against and becomes accreted to, but does not merge with the space of the other atoms that already exist. So each space around each atom is entirely discrete. We can never, ever actually get one atom to touch to another atom. And when we do, we get these things that are like nuclear explosions, okay, because we basically remove the space in order to jam the thing inside that space into the other thing. And that's where all this energy is released, because the space that we bring in is also energetic. Time, on the other hand, also brought in by that particle, merges seamlessly into the ever-present now. This is why we have locally variable, we have the universal present now. It's right now, it's the same now on Ganymede as it is in the Pleiades, as it is here. Space, though, is not universal. There's different conditions for space depending on where you are within the universe, because they are basically discrete, although they're all accumulated around each other to give the illusion that the space is seamless and that molecules could flow from one space into the other. It can't happen, but that's the illusion under which we operate. Time, on the other hand, does actually merge. So when that new ion comes on in, it adds time to the universe as well.
So, okay, how does this concept work within that construct? So when the electron is going around the nucleus, you know, it's going around, it slows down as it goes, because they've been doing experiments to find endless energy, right, to be able to tap into the energy source. And they've noticed that, they've been able to show that the electron gets a zap of energy when it slows down to speed it back up. And that's how they're getting the energy from the energy source. How does that work in the construct of what you're talking about?
Okay, that's an aspect of the entropy, of the negative entropy and the, if you will, the positive entropy. Okay, so this is well known. This is something that Kozyrev had postulated years back, that this must be occurring. And it is, in essence, a form of mathematical proof that what I'm saying about the pulse is accurate.
Okay. Yeah, because if it didn't do that, we wouldn't have matter.
Correct. Correct. It would just degrade and fade away. Right. So there's something that keeps that. So it's the pulse coming back all the time. And basically what it's doing, the pause, the void in between pulses, allows us to have the illusion of movement. Okay. Because our brains only work at 24 to 60 frames a second. So if the pulse is doing 22 trillion times a second, my hand can be here. And then the next time that that pulse recreates my hand, it can be over here. And I will have the illusion that it has moved seamlessly from point A to point B. And in fact, it's right here at point A and it's destroyed in the next void. And then when I move my hand, it's recreated in this new place and was never actually occupying any space in between those two spots. It's a difficult concept to wrap your head around, okay, especially since it affects our body and everything about us. In other words, it also affects our thoughts. Now, our thoughts are not happening at 22 trillion times a second, so they're being also recreated by the pulse. So you'll be in mid-thought, so to speak, or in the process of the thought, when the pulse degrades into a void or a pause, and then it recreates itself, the thought continues on. So there's all these different kinds of things that go along with that. But basically what you're describing is very much what Cozy Rev was attempting to come up with. Why does that occur? And his thing was, it helps to think about these things not as many solar systems, okay, spinning around each other, but rather as just vibration, because that's really all it is. We've never seen an atom. We have devices that allow us to create a picture that is resultant from the energy that is at what we describe as an atom, but we're not really seeing the atom itself. We're seeing the energy signature presenting itself to the devices. And this is why we think of them as particles, as opposed to continuous waves of vibrating energy. But all is vibration. It's all about frequency. And now we've gotten into some interesting things, okay? So let's take a deviation here and get back into Cozy Rev for a second. It's possible, using very simple devices, very simple mechanical kinds of systems, to build, and I'm going to probably write it up, whether I release it open source or patent it, I just don't know yet, but I'm going to write up and design a ray gun. Okay, and this will be like a 1950s ray gun. I'll put some bloops in it in plastic so it'll look cool
like
and all
Flash
that.
Like Flash Gordon?
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so I'm going to do that kind of thing. And it's basically using Cozy Rev's math. And it'll have a switch on it so it can generate entropy or it can generate negative entropy. And you can magnify these kind of things. Cozy Rev was a practical kind of fellow. So he said, if this energy actually exists this way, then what can we do with it? How can we use it? Well, the Russians have taken, since Cozy Rev's death, have taken it even further, and you now have people that have been able to analyze and measure the speed, for instance. So the speed of this non-subtle, or of this subtle force that's not electromagnetic, is a billion times faster than light. It also has the ability to be used as a communication vehicle. So they can have
instantaneous communication across the universe.
Uncrackable. And distance does not matter. Correct. So that'd be really cool, right? Something that would certainly be worth having. So there's all kinds of practical reasons to explore some of these interesting woo ideas. Now, Cozy Rev's ideas are easily understood once you get it out of the Russian and get it into your native language. And you can see that, oh, well, look, some of the things he said here in terms of how magnets work and how some of these materials work. So interestingly enough, we found out that you can affect entropy with cling film. Okay, you can affect entropy with magnets. You can affect entropy with aluminum. Aluminum reduces the amount of the energy that flows through it in these entropy fashions by 50%. If you take cling film, you can polarize the energy because only one form of energy can go through cling film because it's a polymer. At the time it was made, all the atoms laid over a particular way based on the heating process as this stuff became a sheet of cling film. And so you can put cling film across it and reduce the destruction. So here's a real practical thing for you then. Entropy, the degradation of energy out into space, is better controlled in your refrigerator with two layers of cling film put 90 degrees to each other. It'll make stuff last longer in your refrigerator. Why is this? Yeah. Because the entropy will be polarized, So each layer of polarization being at 90 degrees to each other will block out much more of the entropy action that's affecting that food.
So it won't let you mess around with it, won't let you degrade the atoms and the won't break down the food.
Exactly. That as fast as is normal. You know, cling film is not 100%. Yeah. You're still going to get stuff going through it. But so there's all kinds
there's
of practical
There's more ways
uses
to
this.
Do it versus just cold.
Correct. And how much of the cold is going to be augmented by the cling film, right? In terms of we can also
you could have now, not to interrupt you, but you could essentially have a room temperature thing using those films. You don't need that freon.
To some extent, correct. And that's what they're exploring now, is could you have the effects of refrigeration without attempting to chill the air? That's how refrigerators work, by the way, is we take water out of the air and we use evaporation to remove heat. Most refrigerators, most air conditioners are only able to deal with about a 15 degrees Fahrenheit temperature difference over ambient anyway. As it gets to be 80 degrees, your refrigerator is going to be a constantly warmer temperature than if it were 60 degrees in that room. And it's going to have to work harder to try and maintain that temperature. There's all different kinds of things we can do just to refrigeration and food preservation, knowing some of the things that Cozy Rev
Isn't that interesting?
Came up with, right?
Okay, yeah. Well, let me ask you about the Russians versus the U.S. scientists. Are we even looking at that science? I mean, I know the University of Colorado is with that energy source, and there's different pockets. But as a country at large, are we taking this stuff seriously like they are?
No. There has been an agenda influencing Western academia and thus Western science, and that agenda has been in place since the late 1890s, is easily ascertained, and maybe even earlier than that. And we have evidence of it, such as Tesla's life and how he was treated, all of these different kinds of demonstrable things that show that, you know, shit ain't right. We're not doing things correctly if our social order provides this kind of information to it and the reaction is so overwhelmingly negative. So there is an agenda to force a particular universal view on us and keep us in a rigid mindset that doesn't allow us to even examine these ideas because they're very disruptive. I mean, if you and I could have an uncrackable communication vehicle, the government would just, they'd be running around shitting the sharp stones here constantly. Oh my God, what's Sarah talking to Cliff about? Oh my God, we can't crack it. We can't find out. Who knows what they're going to hatch, right? And the government would just lose it. And if we could have communication that was not only uncrackable, but was a billion times faster than light, so that we would have, you know, around the globe transmission instantly like that, imagine just that level of benefit. But all of these, the government is afraid of weaponization of these things, right? And so we have the idea of energy weapons that are in the hands of the deep state. But what they fail to realize is the information is already out there, and it doesn't take this digital approach to create these. Let's also bear in mind something here, okay, that needs to be stated because it's obvious to me, but most people just sort of glance over it. Cozy Rev did all of his work post-Gulag with analog devices. He used no digital means whatsoever. There was no programming involved. You made these things out of simple arrangements of various different kinds of material. All of the experiments were done in an analog fashion. That means anybody that had the information and had the concept the way I've got it could indeed create one of these negative or positive entropy generation devices, right? And so maybe the government is, especially in the form of, you know, El Presidente, the dictator, is afraid of someone developing weaponizing such a thing, and so they could be able to go to a rally or something and stand in the back of the room and aim their little invisible ray gun, and the dictator ages, you know, rapidly on stage because he got hit by massive amounts of entropy because they developed their gun to do that. And so they're afraid of all of these kind of side benefits for humans of the subtle forces and how they work. Some of those things include anti-gravity. Now here, let's look at this, all right? It's all vibration. The whole universe is vibration. Years ago, there was this guy by the name of Bob Lazar that came on out and said he'd worked for Area 51 and had been involved in reverse engineering some spaceships. He gave some very interesting information that was corroborated. Everybody thought he was full of shit. But he gave some very a few nuggets, very interesting information out there, and they turned out to be validated years later. So 15 years after he mentioned it, we discover element 115. All right. And he described the tuned, basically it was an analog system that created anti-gravity in the alien spaceships. And what it was a short series of tubes that allowed this element 115 to be bombarded with single particles at a time. So it was a little tiny CERN. And what was actually happening was the element 115 is sitting up here vibrating like mad. Let's just call it spinning, because we're going to think of it as an atom that's sitting there spinning. And it's sitting up here spinning in this chamber, and you would use a short tube, which is your waveguide, to shoot up a particle that would wrap around the top of the 115, intrude into its space and time, and cause the element 115 to interact, taking the whole spaceship out of time and allowing you to drive it to some other spot. And and that's how it created the anti-gravity, was the wave that came from element 115 as that particle crossed over it. And This is as I say, this is, if you had element 115, it's going to sit there and spin anyway. You don't have to do anything about it, right? You just have it in a place that you can bombard it with little tiny particles. And you can create your own anti-gravity device or travel outside of time. It's not time travel. You can't go back into the past or into the future, but you could travel from here to the Pleiades.
Instantaneously, almost.
Correct. Right.
Almost. Well, let me ask you, you know, during when the Germany was cut off, and it was East and West Germany. East Germany really didn't go anywhere. You know, their car that they created was a famous example, right? I mean, they were far behind us. And it was because they cut people off, and it was only the government that could do stuff. Well, we're kind of in that scenario now where they're cutting us off. The internet's allowing us to get more of that out. But it's been like that for a long time. But if the Russians and these other people are not being cut off, how much farther ahead? I mean, are we in an East Germany kind of...
Correct, correct. And you hit on it. I lived in Germany when East Germany was there, and I was in East Germany a number of times, East Berlin and the whole thing, right? Before and after the Berlin Wall. And the issue is the government only had resources to control the people. And they devoted all their resources to controlling the people so that the people in power could maintain their power. That's where we are at now. The deep state is increasingly putting its energy into trying to control the population such that they don't have the energy to try anything else. So it's truly an issue of freedom, intellectual as well as physical and social and economic and political freedom. The more free your society is, the fewer restraints you have on it, the more free your mind is going to be to explore these kinds of ideas, the further ahead you will be. I suspect that in the acknowledged programs that I can find with Russian search engines and stuff, in the acknowledged programs in Russia, they're at least 30 years, if not 40 or 50 years ahead of us in Cozy Rev science. You don't see Skeenars being produced here in the U.S., right? And they're just truly remarkable devices. You can get I had a very damaged ankle here the other day because the dogs yanked me at a particular time and it got all swollen up. And with a Skeenar, I'm healed up in 2 days. And who knows how long that would have taken those tendons and stuff to heal up without it. And you know, of course, C60 and all these other things also contribute. But so recovery time is so much faster when you take this new view, this far view of what's going on. So if the Russians are that far ahead in the acknowledged world, and look at what's been going on, we've had mysterious, unexplained by our powers that be, impacts of something on our military. Number of boats crashed into each other where they shouldn't have. We had Russian jets fly over our aircraft carriers or our Navy, and that whole vessel loses all electromagnetics all at once instantly. And no explanation as to how that occurred, what was going on. You know, they're totally isolated, and the Russians are just flip a switch and they do it. Well, they're using Cozy Rev's subtle forces approach to doing these things. And so in their military, I suspect they might be another 60 or 80 years ahead of us in using some of these kind of devices. I do know that there's an interesting series of Russian discussions that one can find that would suggest that they're not going to be worried about any laser produced by the United States in any form of a laser cannon on a boat, on an airplane, because, you know, now the idea is they're going to have like C-130 planes that'll have these big laser cannons. How they're going to get the electricity, I don't know, but it doesn't matter. But the Russians aren't concerned with it at all. The reason they're not concerned about facing those kind of devices is because like 20 years ago, they developed a way using some of Kozyrev's understanding to disrupt lasers at its source.